I'm going to read now a few verses from Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 20 to 26. But I'm going to be focusing on verses 24, 25, and 26. This portion of God's word, Luke 6, 20 to 26. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." May God help us understand our Lord's word to us even this afternoon. You may be seated. If I was a betting man, which I am not, but for purposes of illustration and introducing the verses that I have reached in Luke's infallible and inerrant biblical gospel, chapter 6, specifically verses 24 to 26. But if I was a betting man, I would be willing to wager that I have never preached on the verses I am at in Luke chapter 6, verses 24 to 26, on the Sunday before the day that is traditionally associated with the birth of the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would also be willing to bet, if I was a betting man, that you have not heard a message on these verses on the Sunday before the day traditionally associated with the birth of the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. But friends, why was Jesus Christ uniquely conceived and born into this sinful and fallen world over 2,000 years ago? Simply put, to save his people from their sins. "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, one of those sins, dare I call it the foundational sin, the sin that is at the root of all other sins, is the foundational sin of unbelief, of thinking, of speaking, of acting as if you do not need or want the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. The very things that Jesus directs his sobering woes at in the verses I am at in Luke chapter 6. Truth needed even before the traditional day associated with his birth. As we approach the end of a year that has been anything but traditional. But believer, is not the greatest gift you have ever received far greater than any of the gifts that will be given in love and friendship over the next week or so, despite what Scrooge Fauci wants done? But is not the greatest gift, bar none, the ability to see your need of and confess your absolute need of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from the very things that Jesus directs his soul searching woes against in the verses that I've reached? For yes, Jesus and the scriptures warn about the danger and the deceptiveness of physical riches. For what did he say after the rich young ruler left him? "How hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God." And as Paul would write his friend Timothy, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And it would not surprise me in the least that a majority who are well off physically, even rich physically, can have the first woe Jesus pronounces rightly pronounced against them. But it is not their riches that is the problem. Because Paul uses the same word in 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 18. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. This woe, this first woe of warning, is directed at the dangerous and deadly, spiritual deadly heart attitude of a person who, because he is rich materially, is blind to, is indifferent to, even mocks the truth, as covered in the third row, of his or her absolute need of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are blind to this truth of their absolute need of the Lord Jesus Christ to save them from their sins. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Because friends, realize this, a person can be physically poor. A person can be physically poor and display and have the same proud, rich heart attitude that displays the reason for this sobering woe of Jesus Christ. Woe unto you that are rich, for you've received your consolation. Because friends, how many people don't see their poverty of spirit before God? How many? They may not know where their next physical meal is coming from, but if you offer them a gospel tract or seek to engage them in truth about the Lord Jesus Christ and why he came into this world, I'm all set. I'm all set. I don't need that. I'm all set. But if that person is not a true, regenerate, born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, is he or she all set? Yes, they're all set to perish. They're all set to perish. They are on the wide road leading to destruction, the road we were all born on when we came into this world. Woe unto you that are rich who think they are able to meet the requirements necessary to meet God on their own, which is perfect holiness. Friends, one of the reasons that Jesus pronounced so many of his woes against the Pharisees, and Jesus uses the word woe, this word of warning and sobering disagreement, he uses it more than anyone else in the scriptures. And he directs it at the Pharisees more than anyone else in the scriptures. Of the 47 times woe is used in the scriptures, 31 of those times are on the lips of Jesus. 31 times, though, this woe of warning, disagreement with what they're doing, is on the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. And most often directed, as I said, to the Pharisees and scribes. Why? Because they thought they were rich. They thought they were rich spiritually, didn't they? They thought they didn't need Christ. They thought they were rich spiritually. They honestly thought they did not need Jesus. We're all set. We're all set. We've done enough. We are rich enough to pay off the debt against God's holiness and righteousness. You see, such rich sinners refuse to face the truth that their sin-tainted currency is not acceptable to God. For all our righteousnesses are what? As filthy rags. Yet how many like them in the world today on the Sunday before Christmas, thinking they have done enough good works, even put money in the Salvation Army pot to pay down any sin debts, if they even believe that they have any, because they're so self-rich that they don't need the mercy of God. Because friends, is this rich attitude? Is this rich attitude of the Pharisees not seen in the Lord's parable in Luke 18? Is it not seen? He thought by what he was doing that he was rich enough on his own to enter heaven. Luke 18, verses 9 to 12. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. See, I'm rich enough. I've got enough. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. See? He's rich. He's set. Blessed are the poor in spirit, not the rich in spirit. For it is not the rich in spirit, but the poor in spirit who know their unpayable sin debt against God and honestly say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Such sinners are the sinners that will receive their consolation and comfort in the next life, but not those who go through life thinking they do not need Christ. Woe unto you, rich, who do not see your spiritual poverty. Woe unto you, rich, who do not see your debt of sin against God that you can never repay. Because what is Christ's second woe? Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. How many are so full of the things of this world, its pleasures and its pastimes, that they honestly think that they don't need Christ? I'm all set. Why do I need Christ? I have everything I need. I'm full. Why do I need Christ? Look at all the things I have to enjoy. I am content without Christ. I'm happy without Christ. Friends, they are like the fool in the Lord's parable who thought he was all set simply because he had his well-supplied bunker. Things that temporarily meet the needs of the dying body, but not of our never-dying souls. Woe unto you who are rich now. Because friends, if the soul could be filled and satisfied with the passing pleasures of this life, Jesus Christ would never have been born in this world to warn you of the folly of such thinking. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Jesus says that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses, but how many are so full of the things this world deceives them with to face the truth that they were not given these things by God as a replacement or as a substitute for him. They are worshiping the creation rather than the Creator who is forever blessed. Amen? Amen. Now, Jesus is not rejecting the truth that Paul writes that God has given us all things for our enjoyment. Because it's not wrong to enjoy the good things that the Lord has so graciously given to us out of his never-ending bounty. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, to all to the glory of God. But how many are there who actually think that the things of this world can fill, have filled, will fill their souls? And they will never know the blessing of seeking to enjoy something to the glory of God as long as they are full of the enjoyment of something without any thought to God or thanksgiving lifted up to God for that enjoyment, which is a display, friends, of their idolatry. For everything, give thanks. How many never give the living God, the true God, the only God, praise and thanksgiving for the things they enjoy because their enjoyment of that thing is their idol and their God? Woe to you that are full now. Why do I need to thank God? I'm content. But friends, what does such a person never do? What does such a person never do? They never ask themselves a fundamental question. Why do I enjoy this? Why do I enjoy this? Friends, what is the ability to enjoy something? It's the gift of God. It's a gift from God. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give thanks unto the God who has given you the ability to enjoy that. I'll ask you, did you enjoy any of the things we had at our fellowship lunch? I think you weren't all there saying, oh, I can't take, I'm not going to eat this. I think we enjoyed it. To give God thanks for that enjoyment is a gift of His great grace. But why does Jesus say, woe to those who are full? Because they are so full of whatever they are enjoying that they never stop and ask themselves, why do I have the ability to enjoy these things? Why am I not like a rock? Why am I not like a rock who expresses no enjoyment or displeasure at anything that is done to it? I mean, I can hit a rock with a hammer and it doesn't say, stop doing that. I can warm that rock up and it doesn't say, oh, that feels good. A rock doesn't do anything. It just sits there. Why am I not like that rock? Where do the things I am enjoying, even the skipping of a rock across a calm pond? Who gave these things to me? Who gave me the ability to enjoy something? The non-believer is so full of the enjoyment of the things that God has given him that he gives no thought to offering up a word of thanksgiving to God, who is the source of every good and perfect gift. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Woe unto you that are full of all this world can provide, but never give one thought to the God who owns the world and all things in it, including you. For you shall hunger. Friends, no wonder Jesus says, woe to someone who thinks his soul can be filled with the passing pleasures of this world. Why? For ye shall hunger. For to have no desire or hunger for the living true and only God in time means that person will have no hunger or desire for the living true and only God when he passes out of this dying world. Because, friends, physical death doesn't change the soul of the one that physically died. It confirms that soul in the state it was in before that person physically died. The soul that has no hunger and thirst and enjoyment of the living, true, and only God in this brief life will have none in the next. The only thing that person will desire are the pleasures that are now all behind him or her. The things that they had made idols out of. And friends, the Lord reveals this to you. The Lord reveals this to you by the different destinies of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus comforted and the rich man in torments. Because what did the rich man want satisfied? What did he want satisfied? He didn't want his soul satisfied. He didn't want his soul satisfied. What did he want satisfied? His tongue. He wanted his tongue satisfied. No desire for the living God who alone can satisfy and fill the soul. And the sobering nature of these woes is seen by the third. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. And is this not what is revealed by the rich man? Yes, it is. But is Jesus saying it is wrong to laugh? No. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. There is a time to laugh. So what type of laughter is Jesus referring to that he pronounces this third woe against? It is the laughter that goes along with the first two woes. of those who think they don't need Christ to make them right with God, of those who think that it is possible for them to fill their souls with the passing pleasures of this life. What makes the sobering condition of the unbeliever so sobering? Woe unto you that laugh now. Laugh at what? At their absolute need of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, to paraphrase the non-believer, imagine this preacher on the Sunday before Christmas telling me that I need Christ because of my spiritual poverty before God and my trying to fill my soul with the passing pleasures of this world. How many rich and full people would laugh me to scorn if I told them the truth that their only hope is Jesus Christ? Be honest with me. How many would laugh in my face if I correctly told them that the only answer to COVID mania is the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? How many? How many would laugh me to scorn? Because, friends, the saving gospel of Christ is the only thing powerful enough to deliver man from his fear of death. That is being seen on a level almost impossible to comprehend today. Because it is focused on something shown to be less dangerous than the flu. But be honest, friends, be honest. How many in the world would laugh at you? Would laugh at you if you told them that their only hope is the Lord Jesus Christ, since in their sin-warped thinking, this is a closed universe, there is no God, and no such thing as the soul. How many governors, especially the governors imposing their tyrannical lockdowns, and men like Fauci and Gates, would laugh at you if you told them that what the world needs is not a toxic vaccine, but believing the saving gospel of Christ. And this laughing is by no means limited to them. For if you were able to have a card sent out at this time of year to everyone on the face of the earth stating the reason that Jesus Christ came into this world, dying world, namely to save his people from their sins, how many would laugh at it? How many would mock and say, what a waste of paper? How many would get annoyed and offended at being sent to them? I'm all set. The very idea that I need the Lord Jesus Christ to save me from my sins is ludicrous and a joke. Doesn't whoever sent this know that the vaccines are now available? But pointing people to anything or anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ may get you the applause of men, but not of God. Why do I say this? What is the fourth and the last woe? Jesus declares, verse 26, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Now, Jesus is not using the word all to mean all men without exception. For no man is known by all other men without exception. All men without distinction. That is, all types of men. But what is this woe referring to? When all men speak well of you. When all types of men speak well of you. For so did their fathers to the false prophets. Friends, what did the false prophets do? What did the false prophets do? They pointed people to everything and anything but God. They didn't point people to the living, true, and only God. They pointed people to everything and anything but the living, true, and only God. Jesus is exposing the folly of men who point other men to anything or anyone as the solution for mankind's problems and not the Lord Jesus Christ. For everyone without exception, is obviously not speaking well of Anthony Fauci. But sadly, enough without distinction are thinking well of him to get him listed as one of the top four people for 2020. But I ask you, friends, is Anthony Fauci pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ as the only answer to the unnecessary fear Anthony Fauci is fueling? Is he? But how many are speaking well of him? He's on the cover of People. He's on in the book of, or the magazine Time. Oh, there, look at that Anthony Fauci. Whoa, when all men speak well of you, and you're not pointing men to the Lord Jesus Christ as the answer to the needs of your soul and your life. Woe unto you when all men think you are seeking to serve your fellow man when the opposite is the case. And think of it from this perspective, friends. How many political leaders have been given and will be given glowing eulogies. And how they serve their country and their fellow man. Yet the infallible book of God records something completely different, as their words and actions did not reflect a life devoted to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the only Savior of sinful dying men. Why do the nations imagine a vain thing? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Think of it. How many politicians are more concerned about how history is going to remember them than what God is going to say to them when they meet? And friends, they will meet. For it is destined for men once to die, and after death, the judgment. How many listed in the lists compiled at this time of year? The top this, the top that, the top athlete, the top actor, the top actress, the top whatever will take to heart the truth of this sobering woe of Jesus. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. Do Anthony Fauci, do Joe Biden or Kamala Harris read these woes? But to bring it down to a much less public example. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you at your funeral. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you at your funeral, talking about the things you did and the things you accomplished, etc., etc., etc. But the thing you didn't want preached at your funeral was the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dare I make it even more personal? Friends, should I leave this dying world before you do? Should I leave this dying world before you do? Don't get someone to speak well of me! Because I die because I'm a sinner who needs the salvation found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get someone to speak well of me. Get someone willing and able to point people to the one who was placed in that manger 2,000 years ago so he could live to be that sinless man in union with Almighty God, to be the everlasting Savior of his sinful people. And pronounce the woes he alone could pronounce because he knew his people needed to hear them. Do you need to hear them? I pray you do. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for your Son, because he does not tickle our ears. He tells us what we need to hear in a world that is proud of itself and rejects your Son.
Give us the wisdom and the thanksgiving to praise you for poverty of spirit, to know that our only hope is your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Grant that we are never ashamed of acknowledging our never-ending need of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.